The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up and, in order to test Jesus, asked him, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law, and how do you read it?" And he said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that way, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he also passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who had come upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine into his wounds, and bandaged them. And then he lifted him up on his own animal. He took him to an inn and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper, telling him, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than I have given to you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" And he answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." And then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. The Word of God is always very alive, and I have read this gospel over many, many years, countless times, but each time I go back and revisit it, it might say something new to me. So I'm going to give you some background on the gospel, and then maybe a teaching which makes it contemporary, something that is meaning for us in our lives. And for those who are watching at home, I know you get out your Bible. I will give you the references because I get little notes, emails saying we looked up this. I'll give you all the references so that you can look up these background understandings of the meaning of this text from the 10th chapter of the book of Luke. The first thing about this is it's found only in Luke's gospel. The Samaritan, pejorative, this marginalized person who was the subject of prejudice, he's the Samaritan. There's one other place in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus pays a tribute to the Samaritans, and that's in chapter 17. You will remember this. He cured 10 lepers, and only one came back to thank him, the Samaritan. He was the one who wasn't entitled, so he was grateful. It's the other tribute that Luke pays to the Samaritans. The journey is from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Now, many of you pilgrims have done this journey. As the crow flies, it's only 15 miles from Jerusalem down to Jericho. But the highway will take you about 40 miles. It winds around and around. Jericho is the lowest city below sea level in the world, 800 feet below sea level. So going from Jerusalem down to Jericho is, in a short period, about maybe 3,400 square feet, or just feet. So when you look at, by the way, look at Luke again, and in chapter 19 in Luke, You have that interesting story about the short little tax collector who couldn't see Jesus and he climbed up the tree. Remember him? That happens in Jericho. And Luke is very careful to say, Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. It's literally up. I mean, it's over 3,000 feet to climb from Jericho up to Jerusalem. So the story is, this man was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. And now the scholar of the law, this attorney fellow, who is an educated man, because in the time of Jesus, there was no distinction between the civil law and the religious law. They were following the Torah. So he asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what is the law and how do you read it? And he responds with a quotation from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. And it's the Shema Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God and He is one. Every Jewish person prays twice a day the Shema Israel. All Jewish religious services begin with this prayer from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God and He is the one. And then it goes on to say, teach your children this prayer. Pray it in the morning, pray it at night. Place it on the doorposts of your rooms, of your houses. So when you go to your Jewish friend's home, you will see the mezuzah, that little cylinder on the doorpost. And inside of that is a parchment, a little parchment with the Shema Israel. And so this devout Jew says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. But interestingly, he adds something. The Jewish scholar adds something to the Shema. You must love your neighbor as yourself. That's not in the Shema. That comes from the 19th chapter, verse 18, of another book of law there in the Torah. Come from Deuteronomy. So that's the background on this. Now, he says, Jesus goes on to tell this story. And the story is, this man is journeying from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And a priest comes, and he passes him by. In his crisis, he passes him by. Next comes a Levite, an important official of the temple. He sees him, he passes by. And along comes this Samaritan, the marginalized, pejorative person, and he stops. Now, what Jesus is telling us is, do you want to know how to live the gospel? Don't look for the priests and the Levites. Look for the ordinary person. That's where the gospel is lived. Sometimes we think, I have to find holiness up there with the priests and the Levites. No, no. The holiness and the living gospel happens in the ordinary days of life, in the lives of ordinary people. So he's going down. Now, why does the Samaritan stop and the others pass by? I wondered about that. And I found out, to my own enlightenment, that the reason he stopped is, at another time, on another road from Jerusalem to Jericho, this man, the Samaritan, also fell victim to prejudice, judgment, being ostracized. He knew what it was to be wounded. He knew what it was to be abandoned. And therefore he could relate to the victim because he himself was a victim. Very powerful teaching. You won't find it up in the elite. You find it down here at ground level. That's where the gospel comes to life. What does this mean to us? It means that recently, just in the last week, some very high cleric handed down a mandate, some kind of an extraordinary commandment for his diocese, saying that anybody in a second marriage who doesn't have an annulment may not go to communion. Only on one condition, they live as brother and sister. I wondered if he traveled down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, if he understands the pain, the struggle, the yearning, the hunger for the Eucharist in good people, since every marriage is not a candidate for annulment, nor should it be. But canonically, every marriage doesn't qualify. So what do we do? Do we enter into their life and see the feeling, the struggle, the pain, the yearning, the hunger for the Eucharist on the road to Jericho? Or do we make a judgment and pass by on the other side? Recently, the Pope apologized to gay people for the manner in which the Church has treated them. Who will understand the gay person? Only a person who is gay, or if you have somebody in your family or somebody who belongs to you, then you will understand the anguish and the sense of being separated and judged and the fear of those who are gay. But somehow you have to belong to the moment. You have to have gone the journey to Jericho yourself in order to grasp. Who will understand a person who is suffering from chemical addiction except somebody who is recovering? Or somebody in the family who understands the illness and doesn't make a judgment? On the road to Jericho, the person understands being burdened with the illness. We are going through great pain in our society today. How do we reach into the lives of people of color and begin to feel and understand their fear, their pain, their sense of being pejorative and be put down in our society? How do we feel that? Unless we have traveled ourselves and bonded ourselves on the road to Jericho. Who will connect with the law enforcement personnel, good, decent, honorable persons who go out and sacrifice, put their lives on the line every day to create order and to protect our society? Who will enter into their lives and begin to understand them and the sacrifices they make and the danger which they face each day, unless you have gone on the road to Jericho? How do you enter into another person's life? I was reminded of this story about, comes from Russian mythology, about Peter and Ivan. And Ivan are very close friends. They're drinking friends. They drink a lot of vodka together. And on one occasion, the story is, they're in the tavern, they're well into their drink. And Peter said to Ivan, "Ivan, do you love me?" And Ivan said, "Of course I love you. I'm your best friend. We're lifelong friends. Of course I love you." And then he says, "Ivan, do you know what pains me?" And he said, "How could I know what pains you?" And he said, "If you don't know what pains me, how can you say you love me? How can you belong to me?" If we are a perfect church, how can sinners belong to us? We don't know what it's like to be a sinner. But if we're a sinful church, a broken church, a struggling church, then we have hospitality, understanding, and embrace for people who are struggling with sin. So, wherever you are in your life, the invitation of God's word is to travel from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Everybody's journey. And you're going to meet the wounded person. You're going to meet the person who is hurt. Maybe in your own family. In your church. You're going to meet the person who is put down. Who is ignored. Maybe even by the church. By the priests and the Levites. By the important people. By the fathers, mothers, whoever it is. And you're going to see their wound because you yourself have felt the wound at some time in your life. And therefore you understand. And therefore you will stop. Bind up the person's wounds. Touch the person. Put the person on your animal. Take the person to an inn. Sacrifice for the person. That's the way the gospel comes to life. It doesn't come to life at the elevated level. It comes to life in your families, in your communities. That's where it comes to life. Finally, in the Hasidic Jewish tradition, this story is told by way of a teaching. The master rabbi asks his students, when is night over and when does day begin? When does darkness stop and light come to us so that we can begin the Shema prayer? The Shema prayer, all Jews pray it twice a day, morning and evening. There's only one other prayer the Jews are obligated to stay, and that's the grace after meals, rather interestingly. So when is it that night is over and day begins? And one says, when you can look in the distance and see the difference between a dog and a sheep. And the rabbi says, no. And the next student says, when you can look in your hand and see the lines in the palm of your hand, then night is over and day has begun. He says, no, no, no. And a third one says, when you can look at a distance and see the difference between a pear tree and a fig tree, then night is over. And the rabbi said, no. Please tell us, rabbi says, night is over and day begins only when you can look in the face of every man and every woman and see your brother and your sister. Until that time, we are in the night.